You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning, Chick Cardi. How you doing, sir?
Man, I am happy that there is no snow on the ground in the walkway, and I'm enjoying the atmosphere of it being Valentine's Day and it being Friday, too. So it's the weekend, man. How you feeling, Earl?
What day?
Valentine's Day.
Oh. I guess I remember, I recollect there being something, a day called that.
I think it's a day designed by florists and card and the Hallmark Card Company.
Oh, yes.
and so, by the way, if you don't know by now, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy.
How are you?
What day it is, huh?
I do. It's the 14th of February, and for whatever and all of the implications that might have.
So for those like Cardi who still is young and participates in that day, chocolates, man. They said the price of chocolate is going through the roof. So if you buy some candy, it might cost you more than the flowers themselves.
I agree.
You checked it out?
Yeah. So the turtles actually cost way more. I went to CVS Pharmacy the other day to go look at the flower prices, and they were $20. The chocolate was actually $27. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and get these flowers real quick. That's what she'll be getting for Valentine's Day.
Actually, this is a bit of a segue, but one of my sons, I was talking to him, and he brought up something sort of ironic. It might be that an egg is worth more than a chicken. Eggs are so expensive now, and you can buy already fried chicken, a whole fried chicken, for $6. Okay, so what did that chicken cost to begin with before all the things were done to it to create the chicken that you could fry and sell for $6 when eggs cost about $1 a piece? I think that everyone's going to stop these eggs from hatching and just hurry out and sell the eggs.
I haven't noticed. I really haven't bought any eggs. My wife probably has. There's some in the refrigerator, but I don't know. And really... You can't, it's hard to say, well, I'm not going to eat many eggs because food that you prepare sometimes you got to have some eggs.
Yeah. Eggs are necessities. And particularly if you're a chicken. And apparently they are very dear right now. Eggs can sell for many dollars a dozen, apparently. So, the incumbent president hasn't solved the egg price problem. That's for sure.
Well, it's a prime example for all of those people who said that Joe Biden and the Democrats were the reason that the food prices were so high. And now there's a new sheriff in town. Food prices are still high and actually have gone higher. And if I chose, Sandy, not to buy eggs, part of the reason why egg prices are so high is the bird flu.
Well, that is the reason they're so high.
Yeah, but people don't associate it with that.
Well, the MAGA Republicans said it was Biden's fault until now. And now it's the flu's fault. It was always the same reason because this avian flu has been going on for a couple of years, and the mass culling of the chickens out there has been going on for some time as well. But it's interesting. Back in the world of fowl, where sauce for the goose is supposed to be sauce for the gander, apparently that's not the case politically.
No, well, you know, so people need to know that's the reason. And you know, you're not going to be able to get people to convince people of many things in these days and times. I was talking with somebody the other day about it, and they said, well, it started under Joe Biden. I said, well, man, listen, man, what are you talking about? It started under Joe Biden. Okay, bird flu didn't have a president or any individual's name is not attached or associated with bird flu. How do you associate bird flu with who the president of the United States is?
Well, it depends on who you are, apparently. That's the whole craziness of laying everything at the feet of the incumbent president and the callers we've had, the conservative callers we have, and conservative politicians who've spent 4 years laying everything that was going on that was negative at the feet of Joe Biden and ignoring all the positive things that were going on, will now do the flip side of that and will be blaming everyone else for anything bad that goes on, including Joe Biden during this administration, and will be only extolling things good that are going on. Now, unfortunately for the incoming incumbent, that list of good things that are going on is pretty short right now.
Well, I got some good news, Sandy. What is the guy's name? J.D. Vance, the vice president. And what's that other Yahoo's name? Pete Hegseth.
Yeah.
They're going to be representing the United States at the Munich conference today. And I'm sure the rest of those nations are going to be really excited to have those two wrecking balls sitting down and talking about something that these people who, Sandy, have gotten grown accustomed to having, you know, meaningful conversations. Here comes two guys are coming in with wrecking.
Well, as far as U.S. policy towards Ukraine are concerned, Vance and Hegseth represent yin and yang, because a couple of days ago, Hegseth was busily telling the world that that we had to be realistic about a settlement in Ukraine, no involvement in NATO. They needed to give up the property that has been seized by Russia over time, et cetera, et cetera. And then J.D. Vance comes along to kind of clean that up by saying, oh, no, we might send troops into Ukraine, and we've got everything on the table. Well, you can't have it both ways, actually. And so I think the problem we now have is that we've got terrifically mixed signals, and everything is in the hands of Donald Trump. And we've got foreign figures who say, we don't want to talk to anyone but Donald Trump, because he clearly is the guy calling the shots. So, you know, the ability for J.D. Vance and Pete Hegseth to represent the United States at a conference, when everyone at that conference says, well, we aren't interested in what you have to say, we want to talk to the president.
Yeah, and the real irony in all of this is both those guys, Hegseth and J.D. Vance, Sandy, you know, you would think that they would have gotten, you know, conversations from those who, you know, president and others, about how to handle conversations, what to talk about when they go to these things. Yet they're left to talk about the things themselves. You know, it certainly doesn't appear as if they've sat down and had the conversations that normally take place before we go to conferences like that, where there's a unified voice, one voice speaking. Trump hasn't, yeah. He certainly hasn't prepared them or whoever it is. And I wonder how long it's going to be, you know, before we just keep seeing. And then somebody, I forgot where it was, they said, well, this was just a freshman mistake. Well, you can't make freshman mistakes on the world you know, on the world scene, especially for people who've been in those positions, Sandy, for decades and who understand the importance of protocol.
Well, if you have an organized White House, you've got a process, internal process for spokespeople to clear what they're saying to the public on matters of national interest. That's just like government 101. That's rudimentary. So I think that one of the problems is that we got used to it from 2016 to 2020, and we better get used to it again, which is chaos and disorganization, and a non-process where process usually prevails, and it's all kind of done willfully in order to make only one person important and only one voice important, and that's Donald Trump, the president. So, that person who's the only person anyone can rely on better be smart, better actually be in a position to understand all the issues. And that's the worrisome thing. No one can be that smart. And I'm not at all sure that the incumbent even comes close to that point.
So who generally would organize the chairs and sit down and have these dialogues and conversations? If it's not the president, who is the person who normally would be that person in government to be able to? And I guess a lot of it is these people are, for the most part, new, and they're dealing in areas that they don't know anything about.
Well, the process would normally get led by the chief of staff in the White House, so that'd be Wiles. But to the extent that she's given a long enough leash to do this by the president, and that person would organize the people internal to the government who have knowledge and input on the particular issues. They'd meet, convene, talk, or organize thoughts, develop position statements, and clear the statements that are going to be given to the public about those issues. And, you know, that's not necessarily a smooth process, but it's one that needs to be carried out in order not to have chaos and not to send mixed signals and not to confuse the rest of the world as well as the American public.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We got so much stuff to cover, Sandy. And before we get into the conversations you and I are going to be having, DOGE rips through Education Department, cutting contracts, staffs, grants, just a bull in a china shop. And, you know, what next? We'll talk about a little bit about this. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy. Sandy, so they're already at it DOGE rips through education department, cutting contracts, staffs, and grants. Contracts that are key to interpreting data about the American education system were cut as DOGE seeks to trim spending from contracts. In public education. Sandy, at the same time, maybe people have forgotten or maybe they don't remember, but Trump signed in January, Trump signs order to boost school choice programs. So it's pretty clear at the time that they are going to be doing the things that they're doing, Sandy, to dismantle public schools, they're ramping up school choice programs.
Well, the I don't think the public understands what the Department of Education does. Okay, so people, you know, the federal Department of Education doesn't regulate curriculum. It doesn't. There's a lot of things it doesn't do. It does provide analysis of education. It does provide some information that can make education better based on the knowledge that's created through the process. But eliminating the Department of Education promises to cause a lot of problems in the education process. And one of the problems with what's going on in Washington is the people in charge of what's going on, Elon Musk in particular, don't really know what these agencies do. And, you know, I noticed a text message from one of the listeners named Mark who said, hey, this is going to be great. They're finally cutting the bloat out of government. It's going to be a great day. Well, which parts of government do we all think are bloated, you know? Is the FAA bloated? No, we found out it wasn't bloated. Is the FDA bloated, the one that protects the safety of our food and drugs? I don't think so. Is OSHA bloated, the one that protects our workers locally? Is the SEC bloated, the agency that makes our financial agencies, our financial markets the best in the world? Is FEMA bloated? Is Medicare, the process of delivering Medicare or Social Security, is that bloated? I mean, all this talk about the bloating of government is totally generalized. It's an arm wave. These people don't know what they're talking about. They have a sense that they think government includes some waste, but what's going on now in Washington is not aimed at waste. It's a bludgeon. It's an across-the-board swing of the axe, cutting every agency and allowing any employee who wants to retire to retire with a buyout. It disregards the importance of what those people might be doing within the agency or the importance of what the agency might be doing. It's a totally chaotic. If someone came into a business and handled the employment in the business this way, unless it was a dot-com business like Twitter, so Elon Musk's experience doing this involves something that doesn't involve a lot of employees or manufacturing or complex processes, Twitter. But doing this to the government is potentially reckless, is reckless, and is not something that was promised during the campaign.
Well, so Sandy, you know, doing it to the government, you're doing it to the people. And I will say this to you. When you look at the impact of these different things that they're doing right now, especially as it relates to education, the public school system, Sandy, has kind of been the vanguard for a long time. All this bloating of the government that they're talking about, Sandy, we wouldn't be talking about it as much if they weren't getting ready to give these major tax cuts to the wealthy. At the root of all of this conversation about the bloated government, we got to cut government, we got to do this, is the fact that they're getting, you just saw the budget that the Republicans proposed, and at the root of it is giving money to the wealthiest people that there is, and they have to balance that off so there's not major deficits in the coming decades. And so this is the easy stuff to cut.
Well, absolutely. The whole process of describing government as a bloated Jabba the Hutt that isn't doing anything is a gaslight for the proposition of cutting taxes and cutting the amount of money that goes to government. And, you know, it disregards any importance of government or any of the functions that government does when government is the U.S. government is the United States of America's people's group funding mechanism. It's the way that we get together to pool our money and to decide how we could best expend that money for the public benefit. And the expenditures that are being carried out by the government are in pursuit of the group funding decisions that have been made by our government. Now, have they all been perfect? Has K Street and corporate special interest had too much to do with it? Yes. But this process is not one that should now simply be attacked willy-nilly and brought down in the process of simply justifying a reduction in the payment of taxes, the group funding decision of the people. That decision has been made, and to the extent it should be changed by the people, by Congress, and not simply by Washington. And that's the whole reason why the Supreme Court, to this point, has said that the federal government the president can't impound funds. He can't refuse to expend money that's been authorized by Congress. And I'm not sure at all that he's authorized to do what he's doing, which is to cut employees across the board.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. And so we're going to talk about, you know, what's at the root of this. Project 2025 is in full effect. Hang on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. You're tuned into a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you, Sandy. The music.
Well, it's just about who we elect in office and whether we've what we've elected, what chaos might be like based on the electoral choices we make. At least that's what most of the music's about today.
So we were talking about, before we went to break, the fact that, they're already dismantling the educational department, and at the same time, they're looking to expand the opportunities for school choice. President Trump signed an executive order freeing up federal funds for school choice programs and ordering the creation of guidance on how states can use federal money for K-12. I mean, it is just unconscionable that these things are happening, and where's the pushback? You know, I mean, I know Democrats are trying to push back, but aren't there people who are Republicans who think that the public school system, they have their children in the public school systems. Aren't there people who think the public school systems are worthy? The majority of the students can't be in choice programs, Sandy. They're not big enough to handle the majority of the students.
Well, not only are they not big enough, but the vouchers aren't enough to pay for many of the private school full tuitions. And many of the states that have choice programs don't require that a school accept the voucher as full payment. So you end up simply subsidizing the people who already could afford to send their kids to private schools, and you're not doing anything about the rest of them. So once again, the constituency being supported here is the more affluent, and the less affluent are not being supported by this notion of extending the voucher programs. I think what's remarkable is that is that people talk about the incoming president now having a mandate, and he's simply doing the things that were called for as part of the mandate that elected him. But if you have a mandate, it's a mandate because of what you talked about and campaigned for on the election trail. And what this president campaigned for on the election trail was reducing costs in the grocery stores. It was drill, baby, drill. It was the immigration issues. Those were the paramount issues that he talked about. He didn't talk about almost any of the things that are now ongoing and consuming his days or the days of this administration in terms of what they're doing to the Justice Department, to the FBI, to the local U.S. attorney's offices. Almost everything that's now being carried out, in fact, everything is pursuant to the formula that was and the agenda set forth in Project 2025. And during the election, this president denied any support for or even agreement with the issues in Project 2025, suggested that at times when he was asked about it, that there was a lot of crazy stuff in there. The conservative callers who called in during the campaign talked about how Project 2025 had nothing to do with the mandate for this president. And yet, here's getting rid of the Department of Education right out of Project 2025, firing the U.S. attorneys and taking over the prosecutions in the local U.S. attorney offices. For instance, the Eric Adams prosecution in New York, right out of Project 2025. Having the head of the FBI serve at his pleasure and purging the FBI of unloyal employees, ongoing right now. Purging all federal employees or as many as possible and replacing them with those who have loyalty to the president. That's what's going on right now in terms of getting rid of all these federal employees. People talk about it being potentially getting rid of bloat. No, it's just getting rid of a bunch of employees so they can replace them with loyal employees. And loyal to what? So, you know, all of what's happening is right out of Project 2025, a document that was denied as being pertinent to the campaign, and now people are saying it's a mandate.
So hang on. Let's go to the phone lines. Randy from Sussex. Good morning to you, Randy. Thank you for hanging on. You say what?
Yeah, good morning. I appreciate you guys. I have a question for Sandy regarding this topic of money in politics and corporations being people. I don't disagree with that statement, but as an individual, I struggle with this idea of money not being free speech, because as an individual myself, outside of voting, I feel like it's an effective tool I have used to be able to, place a vote against corporations that I feel are not working in the public interest, right? So that kind of seems like free speech to me.
Let me just add, because you've raised a very good question and one that could be discussed in law school for a couple of classes. But the people who own a corporation, there are individual shareholders, right? And that's who owns the corporation. Is that correct? Corporations are owned by people. Is that right? Are you on the phone still?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and each one of those people has freedom of speech, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Why does a corporation have any right to speech? Why is it a person when, in fact, a corporation is an entity that is owned by individuals? Each individual has the freedom of their own speech. And as a conglomerate, they might not agree with the corporation, right? The shareholders don't vote on the speech of the corporation. They could fire their and only some of the shareholders might agree with the speech of the corporation. And so my view is that the Supreme Court just got this completely haywire. There's no individual who's having their right to free speech being impeded, because every one of the individuals who owns a share of stock in a corporation has freedom of speech.
Hey Sandy, I don't think the Supreme Court got it wrong, because they knew what they were doing. They when they made this decision, They made the decision predicated on people who would benefit from this. And so there are people who have benefited from this. So, you know, they clearly...
Well, that's imputing, that's imputing the intent of actually implementing a policy which was to allow corporations to expend unlimited money in politics and to represent the corporate interests of America rather than the individual citizen interests of America. Yes, that might have been what was behind this, but that doesn't have any basis in jurisprudence or the notion that there is individual free speech being infringed.
So, Sandy, I don't know about the jurisprudence side of it, but I do know that this decision has come down. It wasn't artificial intelligence that brought it down. It was people. And it was people who, you know, had something to gain in this in the long run. And they're the ones who are benefiting. And so we're all suffering now because of that decision that was made. Not all of us, some of us and those who benefited behind this decision, we're watching that now. And all of these things that are taking place that are hindering the average American citizen, you could look back at that decision.
Well, the problem is that from the standpoint of political speech, corporations have an interest that might be very different from individuals, right?
I understand
corporations,
that.
Corporations are not interested in having OSHA out there protecting the rights of their workers because it's inconvenient for them. And so the real problem is that they've created a group of so-called humans or people who aren't people, who have an interest that runs contrary to individuals. And we've seen it. And one of the frustrations, one of the things that's led to the populist government today is that for the last 30 years, money in politics has driven public policy away from the interests of the people and toward the corporate interests.
So, Sandy, I agree with you totally. But my position from being one of the people is that I can't. So the people suffer. Because the interest of corporations, which we know is different than the people, comes first. And that can't be a good thing long-term for our nation.
Because, well, it can't be.
That's where we are, Sandy.
I know. And that's why progressives, that's why people who, lots of people on the right as well, believe that money should get out of politics. And I think if money hadn't been in politics like it had been for the last 30 or 40 years, we wouldn't have the same sort of frustration with government that we have today. Now, however, what we've got is a cadre of people whose money in politics is open and notorious and who have essentially bought the government and the capacity to run the government directly. So we've got Elon Musk and other of the immensely wealthy people calling the shots in government, and the people are left to simply trust the notion that these people who are immensely wealthy will somehow do things that benefit the people, when in fact what's happening or what appears to be happening is the things they're doing are simply benefiting the wealthy and the immensely wealthy.
So, Sandy, I'm just the average American citizen. You talk about jurisprudence and what jurisprudence says and what happens with that. In this instance, jurisprudence did not protect the people. Jurisprudence is not set to protect the people, is it?
Yeah, well, of course it is. But the question is whether it's been bent or perverted by a process that now is ignoring the language of the Constitution in a manner that is, or at least willfully bending the words of the Constitution in a manner which has been destructive. And that's what's happened. So we've got an ideological approach to interpreting the Constitution, which has ended up being very destructive politically in terms of what it's done to the body politic of America.
All right, let's go to Jim from Brookfield. Thank you very much for the call, Randy. Jim from Brookfield. Jim, you're up next.
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. Happy Friday. Happy Valentine's Day. Well, unfortunately, the right is once again controlling the message and twisting and distorting it to their advantage. Similar to the fact that the price of eggs was all Joe Biden's fault, now they're saying that government is bloated, useless, and inefficient and needs to be slashed. And so what are they doing? They're forcing people to experience federal employees to retire or firing them. And on the flip side, they're not even allowing new hires to come in to be trained properly to replace these individuals. And the message needs to get out that yes, there may be some ways, but the good that all these federal employees have and the experience they have, proper air traffic controls, protecting our food, providing clean water, the air that we breathe, but also, preventing corruption, in the government and business and that. The good these individuals provide far, far outweigh any alleged waste or bloating or something, and it does not warrant wholesale cuts like they're doing. And to show how really hypocritical it is about, to save money and costs, why on earth, if they want to save money and costs, with our federal budget, does Trump allow more money to go to vouchers in school and choice? Why should we as taxpayers have to pay for two school systems when they should be pouring money into the public school system? That's where our money should be going. The strength of a society is based on its public schools that's open to everybody. And that's where money should be going, and they're taking money from that.
Hey, Jim, well said. Thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Sandy, we're going to expand the conversation even further about Project 2025, where people fit in it. Hang on the phone line, guys. It's Friday. My co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Once upon a time, there lived an emperor who liked to dress up.
No, no, not this one, no! I have nothing to wear.
The emperor was not interested in taking care of the people. He only cared about what he would wear every day.
Are there any special clothes? The special clothes only for your majesty. Please leave it to us.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Brendan, you're next up. You say what?
Well, first of all, let's talk about USAID. USAID was created by Ronald Reagan. Okay, and Ronald Reagan basically, I'll try to quote him, said, yes, people will tell me this is a waste of money, but I believe that it will open pathways in the global community, which will help us position ourselves better within the world. And it did, and it has. The federal workers that they're firing are 5% of the actual annual budget. So there's not a lot of slashing going on. This is just more yes people so that Trump can take his little leadership to a dictatorship. And anybody who thinks otherwise, please come talk to me in 24 months if we're, able to actually talk to each other honestly on this same program, on this same platform. People need to wake up, and stop watching the muzzle flash. They're flooding the zone with a bunch of stuff. He signed an executive order for plastic straws. Really? Come on, man. Where are we going? You guys have a great weekend.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Mike from Kenosha. Your thoughts.
Thanks, cousin. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Hey, real quick, this big money in politics, in the new Supreme Court, the money is speech. It wouldn't be so bad if it was transparent. But the big donors are doing this in the dark. We don't know who they are. And in what freedom of speech doesn't have accountability where it's coming from, if you will? It doesn't make sense. The whole Supreme Court ruling in 76 and 78 that started, and then of course Citizens United later, it's a gimmick. It doesn't make any sense. And it shows us that we have a captured judiciary. But, you know, I want my point to call is, you know, we talked about and we inquired about Project 2025 over and over and over, all through the spring, all through the summer, all through the fall of the campaign. And they denied it at every turn, like you were saying, Earl. And it just seems to me that part of the qualification to be a candidate to run for public office is you should put together a game plan. You know, I don't know what, you know, a 20-paragraph outline, if you will, of what your business plan or your, in this case, your governing plan, you know, how is it constructed? So they can't run from it when we ask about it. They can't deny it. It should be open book. We should know by the end of the campaigns exactly what the game plan is for these candidates going forward. This isn't whack-a-mole. This is our government. This is our nation. And, you know, enough of this nepotism in hiring of family, hiring of unqualified people to run specific departments of our United States government. It just doesn't make sense, and this thing has gotten so far off the rails. I hope we have the capability of putting it back on.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. I was saying to Sandy this morning, this is only the first month. And if the first month is any harbinger of what's to come, you know, one thing tops the next on just how dangerous a time this is, Sandy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that this whole Project 2025, anyone who read it understood that it seemed like a dangerous plan. Then the denial that it would ever be implemented. Now here we have it underway, and it's well underway. I mean, the Department of Education elimination, Project 2025, restructuring the FBI, making it a tool of the president, part of 2025. Shift the EPA to the states. They're already talking about that. That's a race to the bottom environmentally. We already know that from the experience we had before the EPA was established. The massive cuts in the IRS to eliminate the pressure on the wealthy to pay the taxes they owe. Getting rid of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, that's well underway. Defunding the ATF, they're already whispering about doing that. I mean, you can go down the whole list of things that were in Project 2025, and they've already started rattling their swords or carrying out the process. And then something that wasn't in Project 2025, which is this across-the-board shrinking of government by getting rid of employees, firing them across the board, furloughing them across the board, buying out. All of this is beyond Project 2025 and is unmoored to the concept of good government, because there's no analysis being done about which employees are expendable and which aren't.
You know, Sandy, and having said all of that, here we sit, and in a very uncertain future for the American people in the coming weeks and months and years, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, we've got the courts, but that's the problem. The courts don't have enforcement mechanisms, and the courts are already being talked about being defied by this administration. So if we have an administration that defies the courts, now we have a constitutional crisis. And we already have a bit of a constitutional crisis in terms of the government acting outside the law or without basis in the law, which is what the whole adouge process seems to be.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
I don't see anything. What do you think?
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.